We're here with Craig Brown for his final interview as mayor. I assume it's his final interview. It's one of the last. And we appreciate you sitting down with us again. I've gotten to talk to you many times over the years about all the things that you've accomplished. Before we get started, and you'll hear this a lot today, but on behalf of everybody in Galveston and who loves Galveston, we appreciate so much everything that you've done and everything you will continue to do for us. And it's quite a legacy. So how does it feel to be, approaching you're at your final day here?
It's kind of bittersweet. I've enjoyed my term on council here as a council member and mayor for 12 years. I've enjoyed it immensely, and I'm going to miss the people and the citizens of Galveston the most. That's given me so much input over the years. But it's good to get new perspectives, new energy coming on board, and congratulate all the new council members coming on board and the mayor. It's going to be good for the city.
That's great. You're humble as always.
Oh,
you have an opportunity to brag here if you want to. I've never heard you brag. One of these days, maybe. All right. So I was lucky enough to get an advanced copy of the speech that you're going to read this afternoon. And so I don't want to recover that ground because you'll be, and I know you've made a few changes to that. But in the copy I read, you mentioned Angela in your farewell remarks, and you thanked her for the years of sacrifice. 12 years, and really it's more than 12, it's more like 20 that you've been in public service. That's a long, long time to give to the city. Can you tell me a little bit about what it's been like doing this together with Angela, what her support's meant to you, and what you're both looking forward to now?
Well, having Angela as a partner through all of this has been such a benefit to me. She's a sounding board. She gives me input. I run ideas by her. Even this morning as I was putting together some thoughts that I'm going to mention coming up here this afternoon, she gave me some guidance on how to say it and what to say. So it's been throughout the time I've been on council, she's been with me throughout all of this, and her input is invaluable. I think the other thing too, Angela's very active in the nonprofit community. And that's an area that here at the city we don't have a lot of direct contact with. And so having her input and her ideas and her thoughts on the nonprofits and what they're doing and some of the concerns they've run into, it's been very, very enlightening and very helpful to me.
Yeah, of course. You guys are a power couple, and you kind of balance that dynamic of the civic and the nonprofit. So what are you looking forward to now?
You know, one of the things that I'm looking forward to is spending some more time doing the things that Angela and I have been wanting to do for years and just didn't have the opportunity or the time to do. A lot of travel will be involved, especially seeing relatives and going to places we've always wanted to visit. The other thing that I'm looking forward to is not having a schedule. My life for so many years revolved around a strict schedule of places I had to be and things I had to do. And so it's going to be good to get up in the morning and see an open schedule for the whole day. It's probably going to be something that is going to be alarming to me at first, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I know you pretty well. I bet you're going to find some things to fill up some
that's
of
probably true.
In your schedule. But that's amazing. It does sound great just to have some time for yourself, and you've definitely earned it with all you've done. So let's talk a little bit about your time on council, and particularly as mayor. So I mean, you've done so many things: planning commission, park board, in landmark, I believe, right?
Correct.
Okay. So and then of course council and mayor. During all that time, what was your best day? What single moment did you feel the most proud of?
You know, there's been so many over the years that I thought back and I thought, my gosh, those were, you know, one of the best times of during this entire 12 years and then being on the commissions and boards. I think one of them that stands out, though, is my first election for city council in 2014. I never had run for an elected office, and I campaigned. And for those that don't realize this, campaigning is the most difficult part of serving. It takes a lot of energy, a lot of time. You never feel like you're doing enough during a campaign season. And after spending a lot of time and really concentrating and focusing on the campaign to be elected and have the citizens support me in the thoughts and ideas I want to bring to Galveston and the council, that was probably one of my highlights of my career.
That's a great choice. Well, we weren't with you through those first few victories, but we were there for the three mayoral victories, and it's an amazing thing to, you know, for us personally, humbling to help, you know, you articulate that vision and then see people not only respond to it with the vote, but the way it changes the way the city, what it becomes, essentially.
Correct.
Because as mayor, you're more than just one vote on council. You are sort of the vision for where the city is going to go in many ways. And I know you'll push back on that and say you're just one of many and that it can't be done without help. But I do think that the fact that you have had a forward-looking vision that was grand in many ways, probably some people thought too grand, but you've managed to accomplish all those things. That's a big part of why we are where we are right now.
Thank you, David. Appreciate that.
So we talked about your best day. Was there a day that was your worst day where you felt like you didn't accomplish something that you wanted to, or just, you know, it could just be an average Tuesday where you just kind of felt like, hey, I'm not getting, you know, what I want done? Or,
you know, one of the days that I would say was, And it's really not a day, it's a series of days in a row that provoked the most anxiety in serving as an elected official, was when I wind up serving close to 7 years as mayor. Our term limits are 6 years as mayor, but Mayor Yarborough, for some health reasons, had to step down early from his position as mayor, and I was mayor pro tem, so I moved into that position within a matter of days. And shortly after that, as serving as mayor pro tem, and then a few days later, after talking with Mayor Yarborough, I moved into becoming mayor of Galveston. And approximately a number of weeks after that, we had a hurricane bearing down on this island, Hurricane Laura. It is the citizens may realize during an emergency like that, the mayor of the island takes over the management of all aspects of the government here and all of the departments. And so I had to put together a group here at the island, on the island here, city manager, police chief, fire chief, emergency management director, deputy city manager, where I'd had to sit down and work with them and then declare a mandatory evacuation for the island. That was a day that we don't take that lightly. We understand the pressure it puts on our citizens. But on the other side of the coin, when you think about the safety of our residents as our primary goal, we always need to err on the side of caution. And I called for a mandatory evacuation, went down and helped those individuals get on the buses as we moved those that didn't have transportation to leave the island. And it was a day full of anxiety, but it was also a time where I was very proud of our citizens, where they stepped up and understood the need to remove themselves and get out of harm's way.
That's a great answer. And, you know, I think it touches on something really important about, I don't know if this is unique to Galveston, but I know it is very strongly felt in Galveston, is that when things go wrong, we come together for the island. You know, we may argue, and, you know, I've said this a couple of times, we may argue and we may complain when things are going well, but when we have difficulty, everybody pulls together in the same direction. And that's one of the big strengths, I think, that you have exemplified in your leadership, is your door is always open to work with anybody, it seems. Is that fair to say?
It is. I've always felt many times you learn more from individuals that disagree with you than individuals that agree with you. So I've always had an open door policy to take input from all sides of an issue. And I think that's how we learn. That's how I educate myself. And our residents here are so interactive when it comes to giving their thoughts about making this island better. And that's something I'm very thankful for.
So you've talked throughout the series of our interviews about building a culture of cooperation. Was there a single moment where you could actually feel things shift, where you knew that the institutions were finally working together in a way they hadn't before?
I think there were many areas, especially working with our affiliated organizations, such as the Park Board and Wharves Board. But I think that idea of coming together really started to gel as the Wharves Board started to expand. They came to council for approval of certain aspects of the expansion there at the port. They came to council for the approval of the bond that they had to put out to the public to raise funds for the expansion of not only the cruise lines and the cruise terminals, but the expansion of the western side of the port and the cargo.
Right.
And when they came to council, we established joint meetings where the Wharves Board would sit down, and it was the same for the Park Board too, that we would sit down and talk about the issues and hear from them their side of the issues. And the more that these joint meetings started to be part of our agenda throughout the year, it dawned on me that this is what it's all about, of sitting down and working together for the best of the community.
Great. Yeah, it's, I mean, if you look at that lay down yard out there at the port, I kind of feel like people haven't really paid much attention to it because there's a lot of focus on cruise. But I think they've gone a long way to expanding their base so that we're not quite in the same position as we were before with COVID and cruises. The port obviously is going to be a powerhouse. It's going to continue to, but they have seemed to open up more to cooperation with the city, and of course you're getting the tax, I don't know if you call it a tax, passenger fees for cruises and things like that, and they're very cooperative with trying to. They have the new traffic study that they're doing, so that's all great. And of course you got Marty at the Park Board. Everybody seems
fantastic.
To unanimously think he's doing an amazing job. And so that's pretty unusual in Galveston when everybody thinks you're doing a good job. You know, that's a definite win. So
it really is. You know, the staff at the Park Board with Marty Miles as the CEO over there, and then the staff at the port with Roger Reese as the executive director. I can't say too many things about them that's not all good. They are just a wonderful staff with the community in mind as they make their decisions. And that's a compliment to the city staff also. The city staff working with these staffs at the Park Board and the port to behind the scenes many times to make everything a reality.
I would say that's a compliment to your leadership too, that you've been able to, and I know it's not, you know, all, it, there's a lot of things that have come together, but I think when the person at the top is open to listening and trying to facilitate communication between groups, that's absolutely instrumental in any cooperative group. And I mean, you do have, people think of it at the as a city, but you really have three entities here kind of cooperating.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
So this is the one you've avoided answering until now, so I'm gonna try to pin you down if I can. 10 years from now, you're sitting on the seawall with Angela watching the island. What does Galveston look like if everything that you've set in motion comes together?
Well, I think in all phases of the island, it's going to be a very positive for the individuals that live here. I've always felt that the best way for economic expansion on this island, in all phases of the island, is providing the best quality of life for the residents that live here. And what I see in the future years, I see the quality of life issues getting better and better. That's cleanliness, that's security, that's street repair, that's drainage improvements. And those things are moving forward now in all areas of that. I see the cruise industry, a vital part of this community, but I see the cruise industry, even though they're expanding, I see the concerns they bring with traffic and things being managed and working out a system so that cruise traffic that's coming to the port really doesn't intermix with the streets and so forth in the vehicular traffic of our residents. I see tourism being a major part, as it's always been here on the island, as an economic engine. But I see tourism, the amount of individuals coming on the island dropping, but the type of resident that spends the night, that shops in our restaurants and eats in our restaurants and shops in our retail shops, I see that increasing. So I see that we're not going to look at the success of the island from tourism standpoint on the number of people, but the type of person that comes on this island. And I think you'll see that improve over the years coming forward. Our universities and our institutions of higher learning, my goodness, they are just growing leaps and bounds. I think we'll see that Galveston will be thought of not only as a tourist city, but I think Galveston will be thought of as a university city, a student city, where individuals coming down with A&M, with Galveston College, and with the medical center here, coming down for an education, but also experiencing what the island has to offer here. So I think overall, I think you're going to see a lot of improvements. We're heading that way. The key in Galveston is to keep our focus on the issues that are so important to the advancement of this community here. Sometimes in elected position, it's easy to be pulled off task with the latest little situation that is going on. And those things have to be dealt with as they pop up, but that can't keep us from continuing to move forward in the items that I mentioned.
I agree. That's a great answer. I would say, you know, looking back, one of your strengths is you have stayed consistent from the first day we sat down to talk about what you wanted to do with your campaign to today. I mean, you could take those conversations and it's really just like, here's the things that I want to accomplish and here's the things that we have accomplished, but we're still on that same track. We're still looking at things like drainage and improving quality of life and streets. That was always your primary focus, was your constituents, the people who live here, the people who work here, the people who love this community. And so I think that's a big, you know, that's a important part of why you were so successful, is because you stayed consistent and focused on that. So what do you think about, obviously Davie Defense is probably going to impact the future here. Do you see us becoming, you know, more of a shipbuilding town as well as like a balance of tourism and shipbuilding, or do you think it'll still be primarily focused on tourism?
I see the port becoming more and more an economic engine than they currently are. I think tourism will always be right up there at the top. I think since the beginning of our island here, tourism and those wanting to visit the beach and so forth are always going to be an integral part of our economy here. But the port, my goodness, it's people talk about a diamond in the rough. I wouldn't say it's a diamond in the rough anymore, but it's a polished jewel that is continuing to expand over there. Right. Davie is bringing a whole new perspective of what our port can be. Right. It's not only a cargo, it's not only a cruise destination and so forth, but what it is that we're seeing shipbuilding becoming an integral part of our economy here. And what I like about Davie and their coming to Pelican Island is not only what they bring with the jobs and so forth and the expansion of the shipbuilding industry, but they're going to be an impetus for continued advancement of Pelican Island that has set, really set still here for quite a long time over there. And that island, as the Pelican Island expands, it may not be shipbuilding. It may be ancillary services that will expand that will support crews, cargo, and shipbuilding. You're going to see a lot of different allied industries on Pelican Island that we've never thought of would be here in Galveston. We'll probably start to look to Galveston, especially because of Davie, Davie being here.
Right. So I think it's definitely, it would be remiss of me not to, to circle back to Pelican Island because, or continue on that, because I remember in the very first meeting we had, one of the things that you brought up was Pelican Island, and that was an underdeveloped resource. And I remember at that time, everyone had kind of written Pelican Island off. They had kind of said, this is just a wasteland. There's nothing that's ever going to be done. You have continued to focus on Pelican Island for 7 years, I know for sure. And you may have had your eyes on it before then, but I think that a lot of what's happening over there is because you've continued to put that focus on what's available there to us. And I think that's an amazing credit to your persistence and your tenacity and vision, because like I said, most people, they were like, why are we even worrying about a bridge? There's nothing over there worthwhile to drive to see, except for A&M, of course. So, and now, of course, we have the possibility of the land bridge, which I know you've supported and embraced the possibilities there as a game changer with rail. I mean, how does it feel to look back and think an idea that you had 7 years ago could have influenced billions of dollars in industry and the future of the island that you love? And I don't think I'm being overdramatic when I say that, honestly. I think that might be underselling it.
But well, to me, Pelican Island, it just made sense that we needed to turn our attention to that area. I mean, we're running out of land here in Galveston that we can expand on. And Pelican Island was just a vacant area of land of over 1,000 acres over there that just was untouched. The port has control over some of it. The Port of Houston has control over a lot of it. But that doesn't mean that we can't work with Port of Houston, combine our efforts to make sure that we're working together for the benefit of the community as the Port of Houston, Port of Galveston expand over there. I wish I could take full credit on saying, oh, I'm bringing forward the idea of expansion of Pelican Island. I stand on the shoulders of many individuals in the past that have had the same idea. But it's so good to see that coming to fruition. And we're talking about the future here. I think we'll be really surprised at how Pelican Island will develop. It's going to be one of those issues once it reaches that critical mass. And I think Davie is probably going to be right up there producing that critical mass situation. Once that hits, then you're going to see things take off and expand exponentially over there.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I have a little bit of insight to that because of the GDP, and I think if anything, people aren't quite excited enough about what Pelican Island can bring, especially with rail connection and deep water access and all the things that that gives you. You know, it's amazing.
Me for interrupting, David. Just a thought about the bridge. We've had our sights on a new bridge over there at Pelican Island for a number of years. And for the last 5 or 6 years, the city of Galveston has stepped up since I've been mayor and said, we're going to move this bridge forward. We've been working with TxDOT on that. And for a number of different reasons, it just hasn't come and moved as quickly as we'd like. I started thinking about this the other day, and I think sometimes when things don't move as efficiently as you would hope or you would expect for them to, there may be a reason for that, and that reason may be that I think that we have the opportunity for an easier and better approach to a Pelican Island bridge. That's why I take my hat off to the new feasibility study that's moving forward, being sponsored by the Port of Galveston, to look at an alternative. We don't know where that's going right now, but I would say my suspicion is that alternative will become a reality, wind up costing the city of Galveston far less money and be far easier to maintain, and will bring rail to Pelican Island, which the other approach did not include rail.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I think that that part and the fund, some, I believe it opens up some new funding options from federal government.
It does.
Like that. So there's a lot to talk about there. That could be a whole interview. So, but I know, but we can maybe talk about that more after the you know, after today. But you said something just now, and you've said this throughout the series. You said that you stand on the shoulder of others. I would love to give you the opportunity to name some of them. Who are the people who made all these things possible? And maybe some that Galvestonians may not have heard of or thought are connected to this success.
Well, the ones that we think of sometimes are elected officials. The mayors in the past have brought forward. I was presented by a resident here not too long ago, a scrapbook of a mayor that was here in the 50s. And it was a scrapbook of this particular mayor's, and I am sorry, David, I'm drawing a blank now on the mayor's name on this, but it was a scrapbook of the goals and the accomplishments of that mayor at the time. And this was back in the 50s and 60s. And I read through that scrapbook and I thought to myself, what an innovative individual this mayor was to bring these ideas forward and saw the future of Galveston. So I think we've had a lot of mayors along those lines that in their own way have been wanting to advance this community forward. That also plays a role with the past executive directors and CEOs of our affiliated organizations, the Park Board and the Port. These are individuals that have added to the vision of Galveston and where we want to go, and have got council to look at Galveston in a different way, and I think that's very important. And I'd really want to put a lot of emphasis on the citizens of Galveston. We think of individuals that are leaders of particular organizations or elected individuals, but I tell you who really drives this city is the citizens that come up and work and want to have their voices heard and to give their thoughts on how Galveston can be better. And over the years, if you really look at a lot of these improvements, they originate from the residents of Galveston.
That's true, that's true. And they have a lot of opportunities for input. The LDRs are about to be changed, correct? And so I think sometimes citizens don't understand what a depth of opportunity they have to participate in the city itself. Even if you can't, if you don't have the time or you're not able to serve on a board, or there's so many things you can do just to have your voice heard about the you know, there are opportunities to come and speak to council, there are opportunities to talk about what you'd like to have put in the LDRs and, you know, protections and things like that. So Galveston's a very open city. It's very, you know, it's inviting its citizens to participate. I mean, even take something that's off the books like Rosenberg. You know, I mean, the park there was just a citizen-driven effort by people walking their blocks, talking to their neighbors. To me, that's an example of small government at its best.
You know? Oh, it was phenomenal. And I want to put a plug in for the comprehensive plan.
Yes.
We're getting ready about, supposedly every 10 years, our last comprehensive plan has been longer than that.
15-ish.
But for the citizens there in Galveston, the comprehensive plan serves as the master plan for our community as we move forward. And that has to be updated every 10 years or so because things change and where the community wants to move changes as time goes by. But we're getting ready to start that comprehensive plan, and we're going to seek resident input. And this is the time for the residents to stand up and say, I love this community, and this is what I see how the community can be better. And it gets in that comprehensive plan, and once it's in that plan, that's our framework for defining what our land development regulations, our zoning regulations, our ordinances center around that comprehensive plan.
That's right. And that is literally a once in a decade opportunity. It's coming up for people.
Exactly.
So it's very important that people participate in that. That's a great point. So I've already asked you this question, I think, personally and on in an interview. And I ask you what you're going to miss about the job. So I know it's the people, the citizens, and things like that. Tell me something unusual that you might miss about the job that people may not have thought of. The coffee in the break room, or, you know, is there anything like the day-to-day part of it that you will miss that people might not have thought of or expected?
You know what I think I will miss? Being mayor, here in Galveston, as the citizens know, we do not get any financial remuneration for serving as mayor or city council members. The only, I would call it possibly the perk that I receive as mayor is there is a spot out in front of City Hall that has the sign reserved on it. It doesn't say reserved for mayor, but it does say reserved, and so I have been using that spot when it's not full with somebody else parking there. So that, I guess you could consider that a perk. But I think one of the things that, as mayor, one thing you can count on, and it's not me, it's the respect for the position as mayor of Galveston. I can always expect my phone calls to be returned very quickly. And I always can get an appointment with somebody to visit with them. And that is such an advantage because in this day and age when everybody is very busy and got a lot on their plates, it's always good to be able, if you have a question, to go to the top of the organization or whatever and call and get an answer to that. And getting a phone call returned immediately or having the person take the call when you call, that's so helpful. And that's because, not of me, but it's because of the position of mayor of Galveston.
Humble as always, but I have to disagree. I think it's a little bit you. I think that people really respect you, and I think that you're going to continue to get your calls and appointments answered. The only thing I will say, you might have to walk to get a parking space, but that's a small sacrifice to make. But I will say this on a personal note, and I'm sure everybody who knows you knows this too. You are the most prompt person in response. You may get those responses quickly because you give quick responses, because I tell everybody, it's like I'll email Craig, you know, Friday night at 7 o'clock in the evening, and sometimes you answer me the same evening, and I'm like, I can't believe that. You know, it's not even an important email, really. You know, I don't even expect it always to be answered, but you always answer. You always do it promptly. You're very meticulous in the way that you care for your, you know, the way you communicate with people and the way that you, you know, come across. And so I think that mutual respect is probably a big part of why you get your calls returned so promptly. So
thank you, David. I appreciate that. You know, I've always felt if somebody wants to take the time out of their schedule to call me or email me and give me their thoughts, my responsibility is to be their advocate, and therefore I need to respond to them as quickly as possible to honor the time that they're giving to send their thoughts in. So it's also self-serving too. I would say, being mayor or being a council member, I get a lot of emails, a lot of texts, a lot of phone calls. And I would say that I respond quickly because if you let things pile up and say, well, I'll answer that tomorrow or the next day, next thing you know, it's tenfold. So I try to get everything answered and taken care of as quickly as possible so it's not on my to-do list.
Makes sense. Makes sense. All right. You mentioned the bucket list with Angela. Beyond that, what does Craig Brown do now? Are you done with public life, or are you still thinking there might be another chapter to be written there?
You know, I have no thoughts about any other public life position. And I think this is for a lot of people. I started working when I was 12 years old. And I have worked and had something to do and a commitment ever since that time. And I'm looking forward to seeing what life's going to be like without having something that I have to do after I retire. And so right now, I don't have any desires to get involved with, for sure, an elected office. That's a young man's sport of going through campaigns and so forth. But I would say that time will tell. I'm sure I'll be involved in the community. That's what got me involved with my elected position. I started getting involved with community nonprofits, and one thing led to another. So I'll probably cycle back into that.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So this is a little bit more serious question, probably the only real serious question of the interview. In your farewell, you said resisting partisan elections is a major challenge, and you called out groups that use attacking rhetoric and false statements, and rightfully so. Since this is your last interview as mayor, without obviously naming names or picking on any specific groups, what do you want the people of Galveston to understand about what that type of politics can do to a city, you know, in the sense of, is it harmful? And
I really believe that the lifeblood of a community, a state, a nation is your local politics. I mean, your local politician you see in the restaurant, you might see them at the grocery store, can stop them and visit with them. Your state representative, your national representative, and rightly so, not as available. So your local politics, that's where people feel they have a direct input to government. I've always felt that, and I kind of use this catchphrase, but potholes, street repair, drainage improvements don't care what your party affiliation is. I think it's so important for individuals not to get caught up in partisan politics, because when you do that, you lose sight of the issues. You lose sight of what your candidate really feels about the issues that really are important to you in your everyday life and your quality of life. And so I think that is something that will undermine a community if we go to partisan politics. And so many groups try to push that. But I think in this day and age, if we stay focused, and the important thing is look at the individual and how they will support you locally and what their stance is on the local issues. That's the important thing. And if you want to get involved with partisan politics, then move to the state or the national forums on that. But from a local standpoint, the things that really matter to you and your family, those are things that are geared to the type of individual you elect, not with what their party affiliation is.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think, you know, the citizens of Galveston obviously agree with that. Outside groups haven't had a whole lot of luck in pouring money into campaigns and getting the results that they wanted. It's generally about that direct connection with the voters. You know, a good campaign connects the candidate and the voter directly. And so I think you'll never get that through partisan politics. And I think through the lens of partisan politics, we stop thinking. You know, we just start putting a label on something, and then it's like, it becomes binary. I either want red or blue. But you don't think about what I want for parking for downtown or what I want for flooding in my neighborhood. You know, it becomes a different issue, and many of those issues, most of them cross partisan lines anyway. They're not
right.
nobody wants flooding. Now, when it's for flooding, people want to handle it different ways. But
you're exactly right.
I think you're right on target there, and I think the people support that view as well. I'm sure you've sat down with Jay. I know you've sat down with JP and talked to him, but just imagining that he's there, his first morning in the chair as mayor, and you're standing over his shoulder, and you could tell him one thing, not about policy, not about the budget or the bridge, but just about the job itself. What advice would you give to him about how to do this job well?
Well, I would say this about our new mayor, John Paul Ostowski. I've known John Paul for a long time, and when I mention these things that were, in my opinion, are so important for a mayor to remember, John Paul has those. He's already, that's one of the reasons I endorse John Paul Ostowski. But if I was to leave with one thought, I would be that the important thing is, mayor, you're an advocate for the citizens out there, and that for them to be seen and be heard is very, very important. And that's your role, to make sure, one of your roles, that our citizens' thoughts are out there to be seen and to be heard. And if you do that, you know, most individuals that I've worked with over the years, they may have disagreement in my position on a particular subject, but if they feel like that I've appreciated their side of it and really took into consideration their thoughts as I was making my decisions, they're not real that concerned about what the decision is. They want to make sure that they have a role in providing information to you, and I think that's so important for all of our elected officials.
That's really great advice. I love that. All right. So you have one last chance to say any. I'm going to give you an open mic here to say anything you'd like to say to the people of Galveston that you haven't said yet.
Well, goodness, I want to thank the citizens of Galveston. Over these many years that I've served and had the honor of representing them, it couldn't happen without their support. And so I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart and my family's heart for all the support that they have given me and my family over the years. It is much appreciated. I'm kind of fading into the sunset at this point, but I'm doing it with a feeling of appreciation and thankfulness for being able to serve for all the individuals here in Galveston.
That's great. I love that. And just, again, I started with this, but I want to end with it. I want to say what an amazing force for change that you've been for the city. And I've had a very fortunate position to see inside some of the decisions that were made and how you make decisions that don't benefit you or your campaign. You make decisions based on how they affect the people. I said something to you a long time ago. I said, you're the type of candidate that would lose for the right reason, lose a campaign for the right reason, and that's why you need to win. You know, when someone puts Galveston ahead of their own interests and their own campaign and their own, you know, even I've seen you put your own life on hold in order to try to answer people before and after elections. You know, this is not something that you do. It's not performative. This is just who you are. And I think it takes people like that to really take a city like Galveston and push it forward. Sometimes it doesn't want to move. Sometimes its feet are, you know, are planted in concrete, and it takes a little nudge there to get us going sometimes. But I think you've done an amazing, amazing job of balancing things and getting people to work together who don't normally. I have personally seen people go from being opponents to being soft opponents to being like, well, that Craig Brown's not so bad, you know. And that, I mean, you know, in Galveston, that's about as good as it gets, right? So I mean, I think you have done an incredible job, and you know, I know you'll hear this from many better, more qualified people than me, but it's an honor to have watched your campaign and contributed in small ways. And I think that it's, you know, it's an incredible testament to what can be accomplished if you put yourself last and you put your city first. Well,
that's very kind. Thank you, David. I want to thank Falcontel and Christy. Thank you. And you're brand new, I know, with the group, but you know, you've been such an integral part of Angela and our life throughout the years, not only with your expert guidance, but just with your friendship. And we greatly, greatly appreciate that.